Hey everyone, it's
start over.
Wait, hold on. Go back.
Now. Hey everyone, it's Tuesday, September 8th, 2020. Welcome to Weigh-Ins, an MMA spinoff series of the Ginger and the Beard podcast.
In this week's episode, we've got a lot to cover, including a look at Alistair Overeem's victory over Augusto Sakai, a preview of this week's fight night, the return of Nick Diaz, and more. So stick around. And we're back.
What's up, guys? I'm AJ, aka the Ginger.
And I'm Reese, aka the Beard. Before we get into the episode, how's your week been so far?
It's good, man. I will be honest with you guys. I was surprised that tonight was recording night. I was like literally thinking earlier today during work, I was like, I need to work on some show notes for tomorrow. Got an episode coming up. And I was like looking at the calendar. I was literally typing the date into the title of our show notes document. And I was like, let me check and see what date tomorrow is. And I'm like, hold up. Today's Tuesday. Oh no. So I like literally texted you. I was like, dude, I forgot it's Tuesday. Are we still doing a show?
Yeah.
And we're like, let's do it.
We got this. So
here we are, man. How's your week been so far?
It's been good. Same kind of deal, dude. I was like, huh. Oh, today's Tuesday. Okay. All right. Yep. Doing the podcast tonight. We got this. We didn't do weigh-ins for the past 2 weeks, I think it's been. So it's been long overdue. Not a whole lot of very exciting news, but I mean, there's still some news out there. We got to cover it. We got to give the people what they want.
That's right. Got to do that. But yeah, I think short weeks like this, short work weeks, it's like always exciting to have a short work week, but also like I feel like I'm cramming 5 days of work into 4 days,
right.
It's a little bit stressful, but it's good. And then tomorrow morning, actually, my wife got me 30 days of gifts/events
sweet
for my 30th birthday. So going to the gym tomorrow morning with my buddy Zach, who also took us out on this boat last week. I have to wake up at 4:30 tomorrow. 4:30 to go to the gym. He goes to work super early, so he goes to the gym also super early. So I'm excited, also a little bit nervous, and glad I work from home these days so I can come back and crash in the bed if I want to.
There you go. Nice. Oh man, that's rough, dude. 4:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Hey, I guess you got to get it. If you got to get it, early bird gets the worm, right? So
that's right, man. I gotta feed these muscles.
Nice, man.
Gotta give these muscles what they want.
I did this like boot camp thing on Saturday. Did I tell you about this boot camp thing I did on Saturday?
You said you were going to do it. I don't know what it actually entailed.
So after the show on Friday, I had to go to bed early because I had to wake up early as well, too. So not 4:30, but I woke up at 6 and had to be there by 7. And it was like an hour and a long half, like boot camp thing, basically, where we did like burpees. We did like inchworms, crab crawls, mountain climbers. Dang. Like you had to do like frog jumps across the field. Like, so we were just going up and down this field doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I did probably like 200 squats and if not, like at least 200, I feel like. And then on top of that, tons of push-ups. So yeah, been crazy. And then this week, I've been doing a only fresh fruit and vegetables little fad diet, I guess you could say. So resetting the system with fresh fruits and vegetables.
Mmm. So nice crunchy veggies. Not cooked, right? Not cooked.
Yeah, not cooked. No process, nothing, dude. Just like literally right off the vine, right off the tree. Just that's it, man. Trying it out. It's been okay.
Nice. You should send me some pictures of your meals. I'm interested in seeing what they look like.
Dude, my dinner tonight, my dinner was grapes, broccoli, and walnuts.
Wow. I like the walnuts, some protein, some fats.
You know.
Very nice.
Keep it balanced. You got veggie, you got a fruit, and you got the protein and fats, man. It's everything you need. It's everything you need. That's my new dinner for the rest of my life.
Including, this is This is what I need right here. Ooh. Nitro Milk Stout from Left Hand Brewing. We're not going to go into a beer review here, but I just wanted to bring this on stream and open this up because it's so exciting when you open this can. I'd say it's better than opening a Guinness can, in my opinion. So I'm going to just, I wanted to put this close to the microphone so you guys get the full effect of this nitro widget inside and causing some eruptions within this can. Let's see if it picks anything up here.
Take us there.
Oh my God. Look at the steam coming out of there. Hopefully you caught that on camera.
No, we caught the audio though. That's what matters, man. That was
hopefully that sounded dope.
Oh, it sounded so good.
All right. Let's see some bubblies, guys.
Dude, so creamy. Nitro is so cool, especially when it's like a very dark, like pitch black beer like this. I like this. I like the nitro milk stout by Left Hand way more than Guinness. Dude. So much
better. Oh, yeah. I will say Guinness definitely has a better cascading effect with the bubbles. They've got that down to a science for sure. Like definitely a science. But oh man, so creamy and delicious.
Right.
Oh, man. If you guys have not had Left Hand's nitro milk stout, I recommend you go and grab some ASAP.
Absolutely. Do it tonight.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to cover here, like you mentioned at the top of the show. But before we get into our first topic of the night, number one, I just want to thank you all out there for listening to the show. Our show continues to grow every month, and we're so excited to watch those numbers go up. So thank you guys so much for being here, whether it's on YouTube or Spotify or your favorite podcast player. We love doing this podcast. Like, producing this podcast is just a lot of fun for us, number one. You know, this is the stuff we love to talk about, and we're glad you guys like listening to it. And then just please help us. We want to throw this out there, grow the show by subscribing on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite podcast player is. Also, subscribing on YouTube helps us a lot. And then what helps us the most is if you could share the show with a friend who likes these sort of topics and you think would be interested in what we've got to say. And we'll be forever grateful for that. So thank you guys once again.
Please help us out.
Help me, please. All right. Let's get into it, man. You ready for this? We got a lot to talk about.
Let's take it there, dude. Start us off.
All right, so just to kick the show off here, we're going to talk about last week's headlining fight. We're not going to talk about the entire fight card because it's already a thing of the past, but the most important fight, maybe not the best fight of the night, but the most important fight, I feel like, of the night was Alistair Overeem versus Augusto Sakai, the main event of the evening. Oh, man, that was an exciting fight. I love watching the heavyweights fight. I always love watching Alistair Overeem fight. And Augusto Sakai is a relative newcomer to the UFC, and I think this was actually his first loss in the UFC. But two giant dudes, very high-level guys. Obviously, Alistair's been around forever, so we had a lot of high hopes for him. But he's kind of, you know, some would consider past his prime, so it was definitely interesting to see him fight somebody like Augusto. It was really a close fight, man, to be honest with you. It went almost all five rounds. They stopped it within 30 seconds of the fifth round. being finished. And if I'm being honest, I think there's maybe three rounds that Alistair may have lost in that fight. Definitely the first two. I think a lot of people were giving it to Augusto Sakai, and I was actually really impressed by Augusto's stand up. You know, when you're talking about him facing off with somebody of Alistair's caliber. Like I said, the first three rounds, really tough to call. But in the fourth round, Alistair started to seriously turn it on. I mean, he's been in those fourth and fifth rounds many times before. He really started to put the pressure on Augusto and opened up a couple of cuts, which started to bother him. It was a cut like right here on the inside of the eyebrow. I think one under the eye potentially, but it was a lot of blood. All that sort of running down, you know, definitely affects a fighter. So in the fifth round, that's where it really started to bother him. And you know, long story short, Alistair kind of does what he does and got some takedowns, you know, took Augusto down to the ground with some really weird, unconventional sort of like drags, single leg drags. He would pin Augusto up against the cage and then this drop down, pull on one leg and pull him to the ground and got on top of him. And once you've got Alistair Overeem on top of you, that's the worst part of your night. Right. Your night doesn't get any worse than that. So, I mean, just brutal ground and pound. You guys should definitely go back. If you didn't see the fight live, go back and watch the highlights. Some of the shots that Augusto absorbed from the ground, I'm not sure how they didn't put him out. I mean, these just, you know, when you've got Alistair, this monster man on top of you. And he's like putting his entire body weight into the palm of his hands, like pushing down your head. And then he just releases the elbow and drops down on top of your head. That's just brutal. It's so brutal.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. So, I mean, you started this off. Augustus Sakai has been doing great in the UFC, man. That was his fourth fight in the UFC. He's won his first three. And he fought Blagoy Ivanov, who was, you know, pretty good. But, I mean, Alistair Overeem, dude, that's a pretty big jump from Blagoy Ivanov up to a guy that's got, I mean, he's got, let me look at this. He's got 65 fights. 65 professional fights under his belt, dude. That's,
yeah,
that's insane. That's so insane. Crazy. And if you look at the fight statistics, I mean, Augusto Sakai landed 120 punches to Alistair's 106 and 99 significant strikes to Alistair's 92. So he was actually outstriking Alistair during that fight. But those three takedowns, I mean, I think that, yeah, you know, plus the injuries that Augusto suffered during the fight, I mean, it's no wonder that, you know, it got stopped in the fifth round. That's, yeah, man, that's rough. That's rough for Augusto, but hopefully this is a good experience for him. Yep. He comes back from this with, you know, with that experience, and, you know, who knows? I'm excited to see what else he's got to bring to the table.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned the injuries. He came out, I think it was today or yesterday, saying that he suffered four dislocated ribs during the fight, as early as the second round of the fight, nonetheless. So two, he says, were from a knee. They definitely clinched up a lot, and both of them throw in some brutal knees in the clinch. But apparently Sakai states that Alistair dislocated two of his ribs with a knee within the clinch, and then he took him down to the ground, and then an elbow dislocated two other ribs. Geez. So he said he was basically just fighting through that pain the entire rest of the fight. So he wasn't able to fight as at his highest level. So it's interesting to think what could have happened, but I'm excited, man. Alistair is a hard one not to like. I haven't met many people who don't like Alistair Overeem. I mean, even in the fight, like he's just one of the guys who kind of epitomizes the sportsmanship of the UFC. Not everyone has that quality, but literally as soon as they called the fight, Alistair's over there, like trying to help the guy up off the mat.
Yeah.
You know, he's like shaking his hand after each round, or, you know, different things just to kind of encourage him. And he stuck around and talked to Augusto in the octagon, you know, after the fight was over. I'm sure he was probably just giving him some words of encouragement, you know, for a young guy in the sport, probably just encouraging him to keep training, you know, keep fighting. So he's a cool dude. So it's cool, yeah, to see him win even this late in his career. I think he turns 41 sometime really soon. But he's come out and said like, this is his last title run. Like he has never held a belt in the UFC as many fights as he's had. He's had championships. He's been a champion in other promotions in the past, but he's never held a belt in the UFC. So it's exciting to see him make this title run. And, you know, I'm interested in seeing who they'll give him next. You know, he's already fought many of the people who are in the top five. And, you know, just looking forward to what's next for him.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He's on a 2-fight win streak right now. I think he beat Walt Harris in his previous fight. Before that, though, he lost to Rozenstruik, who he had been dominating for 5 rounds. And then in the last 10 seconds of the round,
yeah,
Rozenstruik landed this crazy right that split Alistair's lip, like insane. It was gruesome, man. It was gory. You know, but Alistair's recently come out, I think it was right after this win that he just had, and basically talking about a rematch with Rozenstruik, which might be the next option for him, seeing as how Rozenstruik's kind of in a weird place right now as well. If Alistair can get that fight, what he's saying is he thinks he already beat him, and in his head he's already won that fight, which I think makes sense, because I mean, he dominated Rozenstruik. I don't want to say got lucky, it was just that
you know, he definitely was losing that fight. If Alistair would have lasted, you know, how many ever more? I mean, it was like 5 seconds in the last. It was like 5 seconds left or something.
Yeah.
If he would have lasted, you know, just held out. Alistair, sorry if you guys can hear my dog drinking water. I don't know why dogs drink water so loud.
I can't hear it. But
that's so funny.
But Alistair, I mean, I think he was like in soldier mode, just trying to like walk Rosenstruck down. He could have just like stalled for the last 10 seconds of the fight and he would have won.
Exactly.
You know? So,
but he's the demolition man. He can't do that. Yeah. Can't do that.
Yeah.
You know? So anyways, that was last week. Really good fight. I always enjoy watching those fights. There was also a really great win by Ovin St. Preux, I think is how you say his last name. He defeated Alonzo Menafield. You know, I don't want to go too much into that, but another guy who's been around forever fighting against a guy who's relatively new to UFC. And also Alonzo was on a pretty good tear, I think, in his last few fights. But really cool to see OSP pull that one out. But let's look ahead for next, what we've got this week. We've got a fight night coming up this Saturday. Michelle Waterson versus Angela Hill. Not really a super high stakes fight in, when it comes to, you know, title shots and things like that. But it's a really great opportunity, number one, for Angela Hill. And looking back on this, they've both been in the UFC, fighting in the UFC for relatively the same amount of time. I think since like 2013, 2014. They've been around for a little while. But it's a good opportunity for Angela Hill, who's been on a pretty good run, I believe, and showed a lot of promise to move up in the division. Currently, she's ranked at number 13, and now I can't remember which division this actually is. It's the strawweight division, and Waterson's ranked at number 8. So a good opportunity here for Angela Hill to, you know, show what she's made of and move up. And honestly, man, I'm not really sure. I think I was reading earlier and Michelle's the underdog. She's rated an underdog with this one. But they both have really great stand-up. If you've watched any of their previous fights, they both have really great kickboxing. Angela Hill was actually held the championship for the World Kickboxing Association in the past. So, you know, interesting there. See what that stand-up matchup looks like. But it seems like, just looking back on her past fights, that her weakness might be the submission defense. And, you know, she's lost a couple of fights by way of submission. And Michelle Waterson, on the other hand, has 9 victories by way of submission. So, you know, it sounds like if the fight goes to the ground, Michelle may have the upper hand. And it looks like some people are favoring Michelle just for that. So I'm interested in seeing how that all plays out.
Yeah, dude, me too. I don't really have a whole lot to say about this. I feel like Michelle's kind of not been really performing that well, certainly in her last fight against Carla Esparza. I thought it was, in my opinion, I just didn't think it was a very good performance on her part. Angela Hill lost her last fight as well, and I actually don't remember this fight against Claudia Gadeja. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it was a decision in the fifth round. I'm sorry, in the third round. But I do remember the one before that. And I feel like Angela Hill's, you know, come a long way and has been really become, you know, an up-and-coming contender. So I think I'm going to go with Angela Hill on this next fight as well, just because I feel like Michelle Waterson's kind of maybe lost the, you know, needs to either reignite her fire or, you know, who knows. But I guess we'll see. We'll see on Saturday, right?
Yep. We will see. There's one other fight that I want to mention on here. And really, because if you guys haven't heard, our podcast was reviewed by Nick at the Regulators podcast. We should drop a link to that in the description. And he actually mentioned in that episode that he has a cousin who fights in the UFC. His name is, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now.
I remember you telling me it. It was
Brock Weaver. Sorry about that.
Brock Weaver. That's what it was.
Yeah, Brock Weaver fights in the UFC. He's on the prelim card. So I'm excited to see him fight just because Nick on the Regulators podcast was like, hey, if you guys want to have Brock on, let me know. So I'm interested in seeing how that fight plays out for him. Looks like he's had 3 fights in the UFC. He's had 2 fights in the UFC, 1 loss and 1 win. So excited to see how that one plays out. He's fighting somebody who's been who's been in the UFC, it looks like, a little bit longer, for a few years.
Frank Camacho?
Frank Camacho, yeah.
Frank Camacho's 22-9.
And Frank in 2018 fought Jeff Neal, Drew Dober, guys who are both pretty validated in the division, the welterweight division. So yeah, anyways, interesting to see that one. Hopefully I'm able to tune in early enough for the prelim bouts. All right, so that's this week. And then next week, we got another fight night coming up. We've talked about it before, but we've got Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington. We've given our thoughts on how this fight might play out, but we've got some new revelations that have come out since then. Actually, hasn't in like the last couple of days.
Yeah, dude. Basically, he's vowing that he's going to do a better job for sure. He's going to let his hands go. That's what he's telling us, all right? I'm not so sure, and this is why, right? So he's coming off two consecutive losses right now. UFC 235, he lost to Kamaru Usman after being dominated. I'm talking dominant. If you guys didn't see that fight, don't waste your time. It was domination, okay?
And it's boring.
It was boring domination. Kamaru doing his thing where he just holds you down and just smothers you, basically. But it wasn't, like, exciting, right? So 5 rounds of that. And then UFC on ESPN 9, he lost to Gilbert Burns. And it was, like, pretty much the same thing, I feel like. It was just him getting smothered and, like, not being able to, like, wrestle or defend anything. And, I mean, Tyron Woodley, I'm bashing him right now because, honestly, dude, I think he talks so much and it's annoying because he doesn't back it up. And he didn't back it up with his fights against Stephen Thompson. He fought him twice and they were boring, and it's like every time I watch this guy fight I fall asleep. It's crazy. He has a wrestling background too, so I don't understand why these guys are just able to just wrestle him down like this. So September 19th is coming up pretty quick, guys. September 19th, he's going to be fighting against that longtime rival that we all love, Colby Covington. Your favorite guy of all time, I'm sure. These guys have hated each other for like 3 years, basically. Since the Stephen Thompson fights, I think it was around that time, Colby was talking trash. Somebody's sister got involved. There was a whole lot of more trash going on. And I mean, this fight almost happened back then. I think Colby backed out of it. I really don't know all the details right now. But fans are telling Woodley, let your hands go, dude. So Woodley's seeing that, he says back, this is quoted from Woodley, "I agree with you. I will let my hands go. You fans are telling me, let your hands go, let your hands go. I need to let them go. I agree with you, and you have that. You've got my word. You better freaking promise, because if you don't, dude, you're going to look like a fool, Woodley." Yeah. He also says, "I'm gonna let these hands go. I'm gonna let him go upside his head, body. I might even punch him in the sack for the warning. Bow. I'll take the warning or even the point deduction."
That would be dumb.
That would be dumb, dude. Just fight him.
Yeah, you're gonna get outpointed for sure.
Yeah, I didn't realize he's I think he's 38 now. I didn't realize Woodley's. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but. I don't know. I kind of feel like Woodley let the fame and all that stuff go to his head because he was like doing rap and B-level movies and stuff. And I just even back then, I just feel like he wasn't really focused on fighting. And I think that he's kind of been overrated for like the past 3 years. So
yeah, but I don't know what's happened to these last two fights, man. It's been, like we've said, really boring to watch. It's just almost like infuriating to be like, why are you in there? If your heart's not in it, man, there's like 6 guys lined up behind you that would like to have this fight. So like, put your heart into it, put some effort in there. And like, at least I can understand the first few rounds, like being reserved and feeling each other out, but like in the 4th and 5th rounds, these main events he's been fighting in, like you've got no other choice but to let your hands fly, dude. Like you've got this one punch you're trying to wait for, but you got to do something to set it up. You can't just wait for him to come in. I mean, who am I to talk? I mean, obviously he can wait for him to come in and knock people out. He's done it before, but it's just not the strategy that's working for him anymore. Clearly people have studied and done their research and, put the training in to know what he's going to throw, and they're expecting that overhand right every time they move in. So they're prepared for it. But I don't know. I hope that he does something, but Colby's not a kind of guy that's going to sit there and wait and give him the opportunity. He's an aggressive forward momentum sort of fighter. So we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, Colby should have took that fight when he had the chance, man. I do feel like Colby's going to win this fight. And I don't think Woodley's going to come to play. I think he's stuck in his ways. I think he's going to do the same thing this time. I think Colby's going to shut him down on all accounts. I think he's going to out-wrestle him. I think he's going to outstrike him. I at least think that this is going to be a bit more interesting, where you might see some more strikes because of the feud between these guys. But yeah, man, get ready to fall asleep. That's all I'm saying.
Can't wait. Oh man. All right. Well, looking ahead, yeah, 1 week further. Guys, we got back-to-back events happening nonstop. It's so exciting.
Yep.
But we get real excited in a couple weeks for UFC 253, Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. We've talked about this fight obviously at length already, but we wanted to throw this up there. I think the beard's gonna throw it on the screen here. Paulo Costa has a pretty good YouTube following. He put up a video of him fighting a lookalike Israel Adesanya, basically his premonition of what the fight's going to look like. You know, he's been mocking Adesanya. You can see it here on the screen. If you're not watching the YouTube video, listening to the audio version, he's essentially chasing around a guy who looks like Israel Adesanya a little bit, chasing him around the octagon. The guy jumps out of the octagon and runs across the gym. Paulo chases him down, catches him at the door, gets him in like some kind of a headlock or something and pulls him back into the ring. And as the video goes on, I'm not sure how much of the video we captured, but he throws the lookalike down, chases him around some more, gives him a head kick and sits him down and finishes the fight. So this is essentially how he's expecting the fight to play out. He's been mocking Adesanya, saying that he's Runasanya or something like that.
Yeah, Runasanya. This is the guy he's fighting here.
Yeah, so it's pretty funny. I mean, we were talking before the show. I don't know. They keep saying like Adesanya just runs from the fight, all this sort of stuff. You know, thinking back to that Yoel Romero fight, I don't remember him running that much. I really feel like he kept his distance. I mean, who wants to close the distance with Yoel, obviously? Like, that sounds like a bad idea. So he kept his distance. I don't think he was running from that fight. I feel like he was being smart. And I think if anything, Yoel was the one who just wasn't engaging for whatever reason. But regardless, I think that video was funny. Costa's just trying to get under Adesanya's skin, which I think is probably, you know, if you're fighting a guy like Israel, the style bender, you've got to do something to give yourself a leg up going into that fight. So anyways, any thoughts from you on that?
I think it's funny. I these fighters do stuff like this sometimes. I mean, yeah, some people's like Romero was saying that he was running the whole time. One thing that you can say is like Costa, when he fought Romero, he walked Romero down, and Izzy didn't do that. Izzy kept his distance. So, you know, Costa's turning that into, hey, you just ran away the whole time, so you're going to run away from me and I'm going to be chasing you down the whole time. So, I don't know, man. I'm super excited for that fight. I honestly don't know who's going to win that fight. But
yeah, I think we've talked about it. If you guys haven't heard our previous predictions on that, make sure you check out some of our past episodes. But I think my money's on Adesanya. I think he might pick apart Paulo. But yeah. I don't know, man. I like Paulo a lot. I think he's a big, strong dude. I think he'll be a tough fight for Israel. If he comes out and he's super aggressive, but again, I think I've mentioned it before, you know, Izzy, we've seen him absorb some damage from Kelvin Gastelum, and he's been knocked down a couple times, able to recover, able to recenter himself and still keep on the pressure and the activity and the accuracy. I mean, the accuracy is the big thing for him.
Who do you think would win in a fight versus Kelvin and Costa? I think Costa.
I think so too. He's just one of these guys. He's so big and can impose his will. You know what I mean? Like he has the confidence. You know, he's got the size. that's obviously Kelvin's sort of Achilles heel, is like his size. He's small for the division in terms of reach and height. And a guy like Paulo is somebody who could be fighting at like light heavyweight easily.
Right.
So yeah, really interesting, man. I can't wait for that. That's literally, I mean, that entire card, Dominic Reyes, Jan Błachowicz as the co-main. That's also a title fight to fill John Jones's, to take John Jones's belt. Oof, I don't know that we've really talked about this one very much, but I'm excited to see Dominic Reyes come back.
Oh dude, me too. I think that he deserves the belt. I think he's the champion already, man. I think he's gonna dominate, dude. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Jan Błachowicz too has been on a pretty good run. I think he's on a 3-fight win streak. He beat Corey Anderson back in February. He beat Jacare Souza last year, November, and he beat Luke Rockhold earlier that year.
Broke his jaw.
Yeah, broke his jaw. So he lost to Thiago Santos, though. You know, I really kind of wish they would have made the Thiago Santos versus Dominic Reyes fight.
Yeah, I do too.
I feel like that's the fight that they should have made. But I feel like I also saw that there may be a fight coming up for Thiago Santos.
There is, yeah.
Is it Glover Teixeira?
Yeah, actually, I think it is Glover Teixeira. Yeah, you're right about that, which I found very odd. We talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. I brought it up, and I felt like it was very odd, and I think that Thiago Santos and Dominic Reyes should be fighting for the belt. So I didn't understand why. I'm assuming that that fight had already been made, and so
yeah,
you know, just kind of bad timing for Thiago.
Yeah, I think Thiago takes that fight with Glover Teixeira. I don't know. He was pretty impressive in his last bout with Anthony Smith. Glover was. But I'm looking now, and it looks like that fight was actually postponed because Glover tested positive for COVID.
What? When?
That was 5 days ago. This article came out.
Oh, geez. Okay, so that fight's off then. Got it. I didn't even see that.
It was postponed, so I'm not sure when that fight was supposed to have happened. But that's something that, I mean, we weren't prepared to talk about this, but I did see something that's like, you know, there's new questions coming out on like, why are there so many positive COVID tests coming out in the UFC? They're supposed to have like this bubble, quote unquote bubble, whatever that means. A lot of sporting, you know, franchises are throwing that term around, this bubble. But there have definitely been a lot of positive COVID tests with UFC fighters lately. I'm not really sure, you know, what's happening there.
What do they mean a bubble? Like, these people still have to eat. They still have to like go get gas. Like, they still have to like take their kids places. Like, there's no bubble.
I'm not really sure how the bubble is supposed to work. I don't think everybody's like Tyler Perry, where they have like an entire village where his actors like live, sleep, eat everything in like this village until they come to act. It's like, that's a real thing. I think Tyler Perry has like an island or something where all of his actors for his movies like basically live until the filming's complete.
Yeah. He's super rich. Insane.
So rich. So rich.
I think it's an island, dude. I'm not 100% sure on that. Don't quote me.
I think
me.
It is an island.
But man, we've gone down a different road than I expected. So.
Yeah, it's all good. But anyways, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with the Jan Błachowicz and Dominic Reyes fight. My money right now is on Dominic Reyes, but it's just going to be an interesting period to see a new light heavyweight title holder besides John Jones.
It's this is a different time, man. The shifting of the guard, right?
That's right.
It happens. It happens all the time. You know, somebody comes in and takes over, and then you got a whole new, you know. You know, just like with Pieter Jan, you know, and
Piotr.
You know, Alexander Volkanovsky. Whoops. Yeah, man. So
Andrew, that's his distant cousin.
Yeah, yeah. Don't mess with that guy. He's just. So I'm excited for this. I think Dominic Reyes is going to take it, and I agree, man. It's going to be a little weird seeing John Jones not hold the title, or, you know, I don't know, man. Is he gonna go back down and be like, yeah, you held the title for like 2 days, I'm taking it back?
It's gonna come back. I don't know. Maybe that's his plan all along. He's waiting for the comeback.
Yeah. No.
Who knows?
Maybe he's running because he knew that he lost those last two fights. His head. He went back and watched the tape and realized, you know what? I think I lost these two fights.
That was a lot of speculation when he first announced his official move to heavyweight. I don't know if it was. I think it might have actually been Dominic came out and said essentially he knows that these people, those last two fights are questionable, and that there's a lot of guys in the light heavyweight division who could take that title from him. So he wants to basically quit while he's ahead.
Save his pristine record.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, he's jumping into the deep end, going to heavyweight.
Yeah, he is.
Whether they give him Stipe, whether they give him Ngannou, whoever they give him, which it sounds like based on Dana's comments, will be the title holder at the time. So it's either going to be Stipe or whoever they give Stipe next for the title belt or championship fight. So interesting. I don't think they're gonna, I really hope they don't cut Ngannou and give John the shot at Stipe before Ngannou, but yeah. You never know. It's all about that money, man.
Money fight. But I think either of those is a money fight, because I think like the Stipe fight's probably going to go to decision, I feel like. And then the Ngannou fight, I feel like there's potential that John gets knocked out.
Yeah, and like as a businessman, like I can imagine Dana's probably, he probably doesn't want John Jones to get knocked out. You know what I mean? Like that's his poster child right now. Like Conor McGregor is kind of not really in the picture anymore. Like John Jones is definitely one of the poster children of the UFC, right? And like maybe, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't want John Jones to get knocked out because that tarnishes his record and his legacy and all that stuff. I don't know. I feel like John Jones should quit while he's ahead. I mean, how old is he now? I think he's like mid-30s at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's really not that old, but, you know, this is usually where you see people start to decline.
He's only 33, okay, so he's younger than I was expecting, actually. So he's definitely still got a few years left.
But he definitely doesn't have the flair like he used to. When he was an up-and-comer, like how he was just dismantling everybody in the division, you know, it was different back then. He was just dominating. And now it's like he's just kind of holding on.
Exactly. I mean, he's got to have the money. He's got to have so much money at this point.
I don't think he gets paid as much as he should. That was one of his biggest things, is they weren't paying him the dollars that he wanted.
I just checked it. I just did a quick Google search, and I believe it because everything on the internet is true. John Jones' net worth estimated at $10 million.
That's not that much.
I mean, that's a lot of mother-loving money.
Well, I mean, compared to us, but like compared to like other fighters, like $10 million, that's really not. For somebody like him, like his, we were talking to Danny. Danny said, shout out to the Illest Podcast so far, guys. Danny was telling us that his brother, that John Jones's brother, signed a contract for $80 million with the NFL for 5 years. So, I mean,
that's true.
Think about that.
True. Hopefully one day the UFC will be in a place where they can pay their people somewhere closer to the amount of money that the NFL pays their players. Can you just think about that for a second? Think about how many fighters are contracted with the UFC right now. I don't know the exact number, but it's probably less than 100 fighters, right? I would say probably less than 100.
How many weight divisions are there? There's at least 8 weight divisions, right?
Just for the men? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, wait, sorry, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, yeah, 8
and then
divisions
and
for the
then
men.
4 for the women, I think. 3 or 4 for the women.
Really just 3. There's like nobody ranked for featherweight.
So there's probably around 20 to 25 people in each division. So you're talking, there's probably like somewhere between 200 and 300 fighters in the UFC.
Okay. So they're paying them, you know, I mean, John Jones is probably one of the best paid, I'd imagine. DC just came out recently and said that he was paid $1 million after his loss to John Jones, I believe.
Okay.
Just paid $1 million bonus for whatever reason. So they're paying these guys this much. Imagine how many NFL players are in the league. Like, I wonder how much, how many NFL players and like what the average pay is, like how much money the NFL is spending on their talent. Yeah. I wonder if the UFC will ever be close to that.
Cause it's like around 60 people a team, right? I think 60 people for every NFL team or something like that. Because like the UFC fighters, like on the prelims or like undercard, like dude, they're not making $50,000 a fight. They're making like $30,000 a fight, basically. You know?
It's nothing. It's nothing.
So I mean, if you fight four times a year, then yeah, okay, that's okay. But like, that's still nothing.
Here's the stat right here. The NFL has 32 teams with a total of 1,700 players. And according to an estimate by some research company, the average NFL player salary is $1.9 million.
Yeah.
So 1.9 million times 1,700.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's insane. You compare that to the 300 fighters in the UFC where it's like, they're probably making an average $50,000 a fighter. Or
right.
Maybe like $100,000 a year a fighter or something. You know? Yeah. Nothing. Probably crazy, more dude. Than it's probably more.
Crazy. Anyway. Well, we've gone far off the deep end here, guys, but this is definitely some interesting stuff. So anyways, looking forward to that event, UFC 253. Can't wait. I can't wait to talk about it here on the show. Yeah. But we've got some other news in the way of comebacks. Nick Diaz making a comeback in 2021. Did you ever think you would hear this day again?
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it? You think it's fake news?
I think it's fake news.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I've seen some videos, but yeah, I mean, his manager put out a video essentially. I don't know. It's on the internet. I found it on the internet. A clip of him emerged a few days ago, you know, looking slim, looking really fit. Apparently, he did a 14-week diet and training regimen, got down between 165 and 175, a test weight cut, and his manager stating that he is making a comeback, planning for an early return of 2021, but you think it's fake news.
Dude. he's so old. Like, who's he going to fight?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's 38. He's 38 years old. He hasn't fought in 5 years. His last fight was against Anderson Silva in 2015.
I hope he's had some bar fights in between now and then.
Probably has. You know, I watched an interview with him on Ariel Helwani's show. He did like an hour-long sit-down interview with Ariel, and I'm just like, this guy is not all there. Like, something is missing up top. And I know that's just kind of like his demeanor and like his sort of like style, I guess. I don't know, but like his sentences just did not make sense. He was just going from one topic to another topic, like without even like any sort of like, how did you connect these two thoughts together? His words like weren't coming out right, you know, and a lot of speculation around like his partying habits, his substance use. You know, obviously he smokes more weed than, you know, most people ever will even fathom in their life, I'm sure. But you know, so there's a lot of questions around that sort of stuff. Some people think that he's showing early signs of CTE. It's hard to say, really, but yeah, man, this is the news that came out a couple of days ago. He's potentially making a comeback, and there's a couple of fighters out there already who are putting their names in the hat and saying that they want that fight. Two of them are Leon Edwards and Darren Till. Edwards even going so far as to claim he knows he would definitely win that fight. So yeah, I'm with you though. I'm not sure who they'd match him up with if he does actually make a comeback. And like I said, his last fight was in 2015. His last win? Give me a guess as to how long you think it's been.
I know he lost to Anderson Silva. That was like one of the latest matches.
Yeah, that was his last fight in 2015. He lost to Anderson Silva.
And
his last victory was in 2011 against BJ Penn.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, he definitely should not fight Leon Edwards.
Yeah, so Leon Edwards and Darren Till, both, you know, classifiable killers in the division, I would say. So that would be interesting to see. And then right before we started the show, you know who else I saw have some words? There was a picture of Nick Diaz and Nate Diaz standing side by side. And then Conor McGregor sent out a tweet saying, line them up, is what he said.
Actually, I wouldn't mind seeing that fight. I kind of, because Conor's kind of, I mean, Conor would probably win, but like he hasn't fought in a while. I think that'd be fun. But I mean, if Nick's going to fight anybody, dude, it should be somebody that's like not in the top 10, that's for sure.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. 38 isn't that old. There are definitely some fighters in their 40s, you know, and they're still making moves. But yeah, for somebody who hasn't fought in that long, I mean, who knows? I'm sure he's probably still been training off and on here and there, but definitely interesting to see this news come out.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I think it'd be cool to see him fight again, but I just don't want to see this guy come back who hasn't won a fight in almost 10 years. Like, what do you got to offer, bro?
You know? Yeah. He's just one of these guys, though. He's got like that natural ability. You know, he's just from that sort of background where fighting is like a lifestyle for him and not really like a hobby or a sport. It's more just like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So it just seems like he's one of these kind of guys who could pop in and do some damage just on a whim. So, you know, I think I even saw that DC came out and said that Leon Edwards, he's got that Nick Diaz has some style, fighting style that could be trouble for Leon Edwards. So there's people who are thinking that it could be an interesting event. So
he might flick him off and unleash the beast.
Yeah, exactly.
The secret move.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who knows, with some like diet and training and things like that, I mean, he definitely could make a good comeback, but we will have to see.
Who knows, man. I'll watch it, that's for sure. So rounding out the episode, I got one little bit of news for all you diehard fans. I guess you remember a guy by the name of Randy Couture. I'm pretty sure most of you fans do.
Randy Couture,
you know Randy Couture. Oh, yeah, you know that guy that used to hold two belts in the UFC.
Oh, and, champ. Okay.
Yeah, he was like 200 pounds, beating people that were 265. And back in the days of like Tim Sylvia, you know, this was like the tap out day. Back when everyone was wearing the tap out and affliction shirts.
Kids these days will never know.
Good old Randy Couture, guys. He was the light heavyweight and heavyweight championship holder at one point in his life, not simultaneously, not at the same time, but did hold both belts. He got injured in an ATV accident recently. You know, so that coincides with, this is also something I didn't even see this headline, but he made headlines late last year when he walked himself to the hospital after having a heart attack in the middle of a workout. Like, this guy, this guy is a fucking man, dude. Like, what? And so he's riding his ATV. He's got his longtime girlfriend, actress Mindy Robinson, you know, riding with him. They both suffered some injuries. She suffered some minor injuries. TMZ reported that Couture suffered rib and shoulder injuries and would undergo surgery on Tuesday. So this afternoon he went under the knife. Both are expected to make a full recovery, though. So, yeah, man, ATVs, be careful.
Any chance you think Randy Couture makes a comeback in the UFC?
Gosh, dude, how old is he? 45?
No, dude, that was a total joke. He's 57.
Holy shit, dude! This guy's out here riding ATVs at 57. This guy's a monster.
He was in the Expendables, all three of them.
You're right. You're right, dude.
He's an action star.
He is. This guy's a madman.
Taking it back to our last episode where we talked about who should be who should present the next BMF title for the UFC.
Randy.
If Nick Diaz and Jorge run it back, should be Randy.
Definitely. Get him, Randy.
Or Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I could do that. Or Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know.
There's so many options.
Rampage Jackson. Fun. What if Randy Couture came back and fought Rampage Jackson? That'd be crazy.
Nice.
Randy would probably break more than just a shoulder.
Yeah. For sure.
All right, guys. We're wrapping it up. I want to make sure to give you guys a quick reminder to follow us here on Twitch, like and subscribe on YouTube. Also subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcast player. If you really want to help us grow, share this episode with a friend. As always, guys, we appreciate you. We love what we're doing here. We're glad you're here with us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you check us out on Friday for our regularly scheduled podcast episode. I'm sure we'll have lots of interesting stuff to talk about there. You can watch us live on Twitch on Fridays at 10 p.m. or if you want to tune in a little bit early at 9 p.m. most Fridays, we do start the show off with some gameplay. I'm not sure what we'd be playing this weekend, but it's always something fun and entertaining. So make sure you check us out there.
And make sure to check us out on our social medias, Instagram and Twitter. We've been posting a lot there. You know, weekly updates, fun information throughout the week. So if you guys are looking for on the time news, then there it is. So thank you.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Until then, we'll see you guys next time. See ya.